This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
This is the voice of freedom. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, folks, I got to tell you, everything's been very exciting around here today. This morning, well, let me go back a ways. At the conference that we had, we invited Pete and Sue Sherlaw to come and give a demonstration with their dogs. These are incredible dogs. These are not circus dogs or stunt dogs. These are working protection dogs. And their whole purpose in life is to protect their master and their family, their pack, if you will. All dogs are pack-oriented. And if they're a part of a family, they consider the family to be their pack, and they have their place in the pack, and that's very important to them. Well, family protection dogs are not guard dogs. They are not police canine dogs. They are dogs that are specifically trained to protect a family, their pack. Guard dogs are dogs that you put inside of a fence that are vicious dogs, that anybody who goes in that fence is going to be just torn to pieces. Well, family protection dogs aren't that way. It's a different kind of thing altogether. They're also not police canine dogs. They are the most wonderful animals that you've ever seen in your life. Well, Pete and Sue came out and did the thing, and they even had Annie bring Crusher in and did some demonstrations with Crusher, how he protects Annie. And would do the same for any other member of this family, as a matter of fact. The only one who can't handle Crusher really is little Allison, and that's simply because she just doesn't have the body weight. And Pooh can't really handle him. I mean, if he decided to take off, he weighs so much that he would just drag Pooh away. She doesn't have the body weight to hold him either. But you see, that's to his great credit that he would never and has never disobeyed Pooh or ever attempted to drag her away, so to speak. But little Allison's a different story. He looks at her like his puppy dog. And sometimes he looks on Pooh as his puppy dog, like he's sort of their uncle and he takes care of them. Annie and I, that's a different story. We're the leaders of the pack. And of course, he obeys us unquestionably because this dog has been so well trained that it's just incredible. In fact, it's spooky to see how well this dog carries out his mission in life. He has a collar, and when we put that particular collar on, he knows that he's working. And if we take it off, he knows that he can then be a pet. And what we have to do is determine when he should be wearing that collar and when he shouldn't be. And that's our decision to make. But even if he's not wearing the collar, if it comes time to work and he's given a command, he will unquestionably obey that command. It's just incredible. And Pete and Sue gave these demonstrations, and, you know, we're they're friends of ours. And, of course, after the conference, I did a couple of broadcasts about the demonstration that they gave at the conference. And they got so much additional business from those broadcasts that I did, and they had no idea that I was even doing it, and it was from videotape anyway, so it really should not have even been on radio. But they were just absolutely surprised when their phone began to ring off the wall, and sort of as a thank you to us, they decided to give us the pick of the litter of the female dogs in the brand new Schutzen litter of their female German Shepherd, Casey, who has a long championship line of ancestors in the Schutzen dog category. And she was bred with a dog in Phoenix, Arizona, who also has a championship line in the Schutzen dog category, and specifically in the line of family protection. So these puppies are quite valuable. And when they first said that they were going to give us pick of the litter of the female dogs in Casey's litter, I tried to talk him out of it because that's a tremendous gift, folks. I got to tell you, that's really something. But he would not be talked out of it. And Annie has wanted a German Shepherd, I guess, most of her life, since she had a large German Shepherd when she was a child. Annie's father was the head of the Army Intelligence for General Chiang Kai-shek in his army. Annie's father is a Chinese general and was just over here a couple of months ago to visit, and I think we talked about that on the air, I'm not sure. And he had a German Shepherd trained to protect his children because of his position with General Chiang Kai-shek in Taiwan when Annie was a child. And she had special bodyguards that would take her to school and pick her up and take her home, and when she got home, there was this big German Shepherd to take care of her. And so she's always wanted a German Shepherd. I guess she just remembered that all of her life. And so we accepted, and of course the puppy was too small to take at that time. And we named the puppy Pizu, after Pete and Sue. So her name is Pizu. And just this morning, Pete called up and said the puppy was ready, could leave her mother, and could he bring her over? And so we said yes, and they did. And of course, we had a wonderful time with Pete and Sue, but the big center of attraction was Pete Sue. And Pete is the most incredibly beautiful little German Shepherd puppy that I've ever seen. And I've had, I think, about three or four German Shepherds in my life. I forget the exact number. This puppy is the most beautiful German Shepherd puppy I've ever seen. Of course, the girls, Pooh and Allison, just went nuts over her. And then there's Crusher, that we all had to make sure that Crusher was going to accept this puppy, because if he didn't, all it would take was one crunch with his big mouth on her neck, and she would be dead. But Crusher's little tail, if you know about Rottweilers, they just have a little short stub of a tail. His tail was going 500 miles a second when he spotted this little puppy. And of course, he had to check her out, sniff her all over, and roll her over, and say, look at every inch of her and everything. And she, of course, was a little bit afraid of Crusher. And she piddled a little bit on the floor, and we had this meeting on a tile floor, because we knew this was going to happen, because puppies, when they get excited, piddle a little bit. And so they got acquainted, and Crusher was just overjoyed to see this little bitty puppy. And Pitsu at first was sort of intimidated by Crusher, because he's huge. Crusher is a huge dog. He can take out a full-grown man if he wants to. And I mean big man. There's not a man in this world that, without some kind of a help, like a gun or something, could stand up to Crusher. And so here's this little bitty puppy being sort of manhandled and looked over and sniffed at by this big, huge this big, huge protection dog, Crusher. And I guess Crusher must have looked just absolutely terrifying to her. But after a few moments, she sort of took to Crusher, and she's been here all day, and she sort of looks to Crusher now like her father. And she pays him homage, and she goes up and licks him and sort of plays with him a little bit. And the Crusher is sort of playing the aloof king now. but he's so curious. And about an hour after the puppy came in the house, I sat down on the floor, and the puppy came up and was crawling all over my lap. Crusher became so jealous, he literally jumped in my lap and curled up like a little bitty puppy. Now, this is a dog that could strike terror in your heart if you came to our door and he did not know you. Or if you walked up to me and pulled a gun out of your belt. Or if you acted in any way threatening toward any member of this family. This is a dog that could literally make you pee in your pants and wish that you had never been born. Because, that's what he's been trained to do. But with the family, he's just the biggest baby pet, most lovable, wonderful, playful dog that you've ever seen in your life or could possibly imagine. So that's what's been going on around here today. We've all been busy becoming acclimated and getting to know little Pitsu and Crusher, keeping our eye on Crusher to make sure that everything's going to be cool and taking her outside and letting her play and, do her little nature thing when she needs to, and making sure that we have her food mixture right and all that kind of stuff. And so now we have Sugar Bear, we have Crusher, and we have Pitsu. And while Pitsu right now does not represent any threat, her long line of ancestors, who were all working protection dogs, shows great promise for her future in that regard. And of course, you know, we'll have Pete train her just like he trained Crusher. And we have Sugar Bear, who provides the first warning if anybody even remotely comes, even a long way away, close to our home. Sugar Bear gives the first alert. Crusher, of course, is the great defender. And then at some point in the future, Pitsu will also play that role. So I feel sorry for anybody who ever in their wildest dreams wants to try to mess with this family. I don't think that it would be in their best interest. And I don't think they're going to get away in one piece if they ever attempt it. And people saw an example of that on our Groom Lake Area 51 trip, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit tomorrow night on the broadcast. But this is just incredible. And Pizza's going to be a huge dog. Her paws are bigger than she is. And, you know, if you know anything about dogs, when they're puppies, if you want to know how big the dog is going to be, you just take a look at their paws and you'll see that if the puppy's paws are way, way out of proportion to the puppy, then it's going to be a really super big dog, and that's what Pizza's going to be. She's going to be really big. And she is just unbelievably beautiful. It's just incredible. And so I want to publicly thank Pete and Sue Sherlaw for that gift. I think Annie appreciates Pete Sue more than anybody in the family, but we all love her. And we'll take care of her and make sure that she's trained and handled properly and fed and exercised and all that kind of stuff. And now we have so much more to do, as if we needed that. But, you know, when it comes to something like this, it's well worth the extra time and energy and expenditures that you have to make to take care of these animals, because being who I am and doing what I do, I know there will come a day in the future when these animals will be required to give their lives in defense of this family. And so because of that, we are all dedicated to making sure that the life that they have is a good one, filled with love and happiness, and everything that we can possibly give them while, you know, they're able to enjoy that. So we really appreciate the fact that that we have Sugar Bear and Crusher and their little Pitsu, and that they all have their role to play in the defense of the family and in the continued ability for us to carry on doing what we do, and that is bring information to the citizens of the United States of America and the world, and to serve as a voice of freedom for all people, regardless of race or religion or place of ancestral origin, and to try to awaken all those people who are living in deception and manipulation and lies and all these kinds of things, so that we can all join together and claim our freedom and protect and preserve it, so that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren will have a wonderful future. And that's what we're all about. That's what we spend all of our time doing. That's what we're concerned the most about. And, well, you know, I'm sort of preaching to the choir, because all of you have been listening to this broadcast for a long time. You know all of these things. Tonight, oh, by the way, don't miss tomorrow night's broadcast. It's our regular space night, and Scott Scott Stonehouse is going to be the guest. He was with us at the Area 51. He's going to be telling you all about his experiences, and we're going to be just sort of chit-chatting for an hour. And tonight is going to be the continuation of Patsy Clearmont's speech to the group of Christian women that you heard the first part of last night. Now, this part tonight is not as long. It's about, I guess, maybe 38 minutes, and we're coming up on doing that in just about 50 seconds. I'm going to start the tape rolling, and it's, you know, I got to listen to all of it today. Remember I told you last night I'd only heard about 20 minutes of it? Well, today I listened to all of it, uninterrupted, and this woman is just absolutely incredible. She is marvelous. She is a treasure, and I hope that you get the same enjoyment and thrill and the significance from her message that I do, and that I know that many other people have. So whether you're religious, or whether you're an atheist, it doesn't matter what religion you belong to. If you are religious, listen to this, and I think you'll enjoy it. So without any further ado, Miss Patsy Clearmont, and I'm going to start at the beginning so that everybody gets their proper credit.
This is one of those series that if you've missed any of it, you should write us and ask for the tape, because it's a feature I'm sure you're going to want to listen to a lot. Mike, you remember the movie Mary Poppins that starred Julie Andrews? And there was a song in that movie, as I recall, that said, "Just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down." You remember that? I didn't ask you to sing it. I just asked you if you remembered it. In some ways, I think Patsy Clearmont uses humor that way. She entertains you while she's giving you, not medicine, but the heavier truths that she wants you to grasp from God's Word. And she does it quite well. She has a great sense of humor. At any rate, I loved her, and I hope some of our listeners did, too. She has her own ministry called Milk and Honey. She says the milk is for nurturing and the honey is for encouragement, and she provides, quote, humor for the heart and hope for the hurting. Hmm. I think there's some of that in this message, which is called God Uses Cracked Pots, and what we're going to hear is the second half, or the latter portion, of a presentation that was made in September 1988 at a Women's Missionary Fellowship retreat. And I think our listeners are going to like it.
Mm. We probably ought to mention as well that she's working through an outline that uses points that all begin in S. Yesterday we heard three of them. Set your mind, seek godly counsel, and settle our past. Let's continue. Here's Patsy Clearmont.
I remember the day well. It was one of those days when everything was going right. I went in and took a shower and fixed my hair, and it went just the way that I wanted it to, that it so seldom does. I had a new pink sweater, and I put it on, and it reflected color up, and I need all the help I can get. I had on my gray slacks and toe heels, and I remember looking in the mirror and saying, "Looking good." It was cool that day, so I put on my gray trench coat with a little pink at the lapels, and I thought, color-coded from head to toe. I went out, and I got into the car, and I headed into our little town. We have a great big health food store there, and usually I can park right in front and go in and get what I needed. The town was so busy this day, I had to park two blocks away. But there's something about when your attitude is right, inconveniences and interruptions are no big deal. And I thought, I'll just bounce down the street in time for the sunshine. So I got out of the car and I began to bounce down the street. Crossed over the road, went into the store, and I started down the long aisle way towards the back. And as I did, there was a refrigeration section back there with glass doors, and I caught my reflection again. Have you ever noticed when you're looking good how often you tend to find your reflection? And I looked and I was watching. I said, "Yes, child, you are looking good." Then I took another step and I said, What is that on my foot? My pantyhose. Before, I had done a little Wonder Woman act where I had taken slacks and pantyhose off in one fell swoop. The next morning, I had put on new pantyhose and I had pushed the old ones through. As I bounced down the street in time for the sunset. And the reason that I believe that is because of the truck driver. To let me cross. I remember looking up and he was laughing. And I thought, oh, look, the whole world is happy today. And so I waved. Little did I realize how much I was waving. I really felt that by this time in my life, I had reached some amount of maturity. But I can honestly tell you that when I looked back and saw that dangling participle, that the thought that crossed my mind was, I am going to die. I knew it was mine because the right foot was securely wrapped around my right ankle. And I know it was securely because I tried to shake the thing off. And pretend that I had picked it up in the street. I finally realized I'd have to claim it. And it is amazing to me that we buy those in those flat little packages and you wear them once and they grow. And I had this mammoth handful of pantyhose I put in my coat pocket, leaving a protruding hump on this side. And I thought, I can never leave this store. Because I know all the store owners in our hometown, and I know by now they've got all their employees at the window waiting for a return parade. So I looked around, it was Senior Citizens Day, they were taking blood pressure readings, so I got into line. Now the sad part of that was no one noticed I didn't belong there. The wonderful part was I had a great blood pressure reading. Usually they take mine and go, I'm sorry, you died 2 days ago. But this day it was well up the scale. Finally, I realized I'd have to leave, so I went out the door, down the street, into the car, and I headed for home. And all the way home, I said, I'll never tell anyone I did this. I'll never tell anyone I did this. And I got home, and my husband was standing there, and I said, you know what I did? Well, he was so proud to know that his wife had gone through town dragging her underwear. I suggested we move in the night. We had talked of Arizona. But he said, no, I don't think that'll be necessary. He said, although for a season, He said, it might be all right if you walk about 15 feet behind me. We talked that over, decided it should be 15 feet in front of him so he could check me out. Well, if you have ever done anything to humiliate yourself, you know that the more you try not to think of it, it comes to you in living color, with every emotion intensified. And I'd be walking through the house and I'd go, oh, oh. And finally I said, Lord, you say you take ashes and you make beauty. What do you do with pantyhose? I said, I am so humiliated. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, Patsy, you have dragged a lot worse things through your life than pantyhose. You've dragged anger and guilt and shame and rejection. And he said, you think those made you look unattractive over here, the pantyhose, but these things. He says, these rob you of the joy of living. These things keep you from fully knowing who I am. It is these things that you've been dragging around that keep you from being that light that I... that you've been dragging around with you year after year after year. May I remind you that when Jesus shed his precious blood on Calvary, he not only died for our sin, but for our shame. And that we do not have to be guilt-ridden people. We do not have to live in constant regret of what could have been, but live in expectancy of what yet is to be. I find so many of God's people in the condition that I was, hanging on to the very thing that keeps others from seeing the reality of his presence in their life. We need to learn how to settle our past. And then we need to learn how to speak the truth. Speak the truth. If I were to ask you, are you honest women, we would all say yes. But then I would ask you again, are we truly honest women? And then I would say one more time, are we honest? Are we truly, truly honest women? Or do we cover up a lot? Do we find it's easier to blame than it is to face the responsibility of some of the deep flaws within our own character? For we feel, where would we hide if I begin to say, yes, this is the way I am? Where then would be my hiding place? Our hiding place is in our Lord. And he calls us to make ourselves vulnerable, which means that we have to be willing to speak the truth, regardless of how unattractive it may make us appear. I remember a friend said to me, you are a jealous wife. I said, I am not. She said, you are a jealous wife. I said, I am not. She said, you are a jealous wife. I said, so what? You see, the area I was jealous in is that I thought that when my husband had free time, that meant me time. I couldn't imagine he'd want to go off and do other things and not include me. And so I held on tightly so that he would always have me close by. You can imagine how pleasant that was. And you can imagine how excited he was to be with me. And so this friend said to me, you need to confess to your husband that you're a jealous woman. I said, you're wrong. I really don't need to do that. She said, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. I said, he already knows I'm a jealous woman. She said, yes, but he needs to hear you say it, and you need to confess it so that you might confess your faults one to another, that you might be healed. She said, but don't take my word for this, go ahead and pray. I said, I will. And so I asked the Lord, and he pressed into my heart that verse and my need to say it. And so when Les came home, I thought, I need to learn how to speak the truth to this man. And so every time I went to say, Les, I'm a jealous woman, I would get to Les, I'm a, and I would cry and cry. Pride doesn't die easy. And I go, he said, what? They can only take so much of this crying stuff. He says, look. He says, let's just say whatever it is, I forgive you, all right? I mean, let's get past all this stuff. I said, no, I have to say it. I said, I'm a jealous woman. He said, I know that. I said, I know you know that. But with God's help, I'm not going to be that way anymore. I cannot tell you how healing it was for me to be able to stand before that man and just speak the truth. That was so liberating. What is it that you need to be honest with another person about? Funniest thing happened after that. And ever since, every time that man has free time, he thinks it's me time. And I love it. Do you need to speak the truth to someone? When I was a young mother, I had a lot of anger. And our oldest, Marty, at that time was 4 years old. And oftentimes he was the recipient of a mother on overload. And he didn't deserve it, for he'd only do little boy things. Mommy, 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 mommy. I don't know if it ever occurred to any of us to say what the first time. It would certainly bring the old stress load down, wouldn't it? But about the 5 zillionth mommy, we go, what? Don't wait. And oftentimes I would discipline him in such a way that was not healthy, for he did not deserve all the reaction he got. And afterwards, some of you mothers might identify with this. I'd think, I truly overreacted. And so I'd slip him a Twinkie. Here, want a Twinkie? You see, that's easier than speaking the truth. Want to watch cartoons? And I could see that our relationship was not very good. And I felt so guilt-ridden because of it. And I went on my face before my God, and I spoke the truth to my God. You see, he already knew it, but he was waiting for me to come into a position to say, Lord, here I am, and this is what I do, and I'm so ashamed. And I know that I can't change on my own, and I need your help. And I said, Lord, I'm an angry woman. I don't even know what I'm angry about. But this little boy's been getting an awful lot of stuff he didn't deserve or need. And I know this isn't the way you want me to be with him. And I need your counsel. And at that time, there was an idea that formed in my mind that I believe was from God, because it made a difference. And that was that before I disciplined Marty, I should pray with him. And so often the prayers sounded very strange and strained as I'd take that little boy by the hand and I'd say, Dear Lord, help this miserable little kid. And help this miserable mommy who wants so desperately to raise them in a way that would honor you. You know, by the time I'd get done, I was almost reasonable. And then I could see what he needed, and sometimes what he needed was more of my time, a little undivided attention, extra amounts of encouragement and love, and sometimes what he needed was a spanking. But now it was done in love instead of anger, and it drew us together instead of separating us. And it made such a difference. But one day that little boy ticked me off. Have any of you ever been ticked off? Holy, holy, holy. Let's try that again. Any of you ever been ticked off? Thank you so much. And I headed across the room. I must have looked like a locomotive. Steam coming out all sides. I had one goal. Get the kid. Get the kid. Get the kid. Get the kid. I got across there, and his eyes were the size of saucers. And he looked up at me, and he said, "Let's pray." You see, Marty had learned a real important lesson in life. When Mommy talks to Jesus, we're all a lot better off. And I would ask you today, can others tell that you have been talking to Jesus? For when you have been in his presence, there is something about your own that changes. There is a difference even in your countenance and the way that you approach life. And the way that you interact with people. We need to learn to begin to speak the truth. And if we're jealous women, we need to say, "God, I'm a jealous woman." If you find that you're shallow and petty, you go around with your feelings on your fingertips. And you dare somebody to touch them. Dare my feelings. She did it on purpose. You know, we can make a big deal out of nothing. Did you know that? Someone comes in to meeting and they say, "Well, hi, Sarah, and hi, Sue, and hi, Kathy," and they walk right past you. You begin to think, "Didn't bother me. Didn't bother me. Didn't bother me." About the 10th time someone says, "Didn't bother me," we know, boy, did that bother them. It's called denial on our part. We begin to say, "Well, definitely didn't bother me. She didn't talk to me. Oh, yeah, she's nice and that, but I've seen things about her I haven't cared for particularly." And we begin to build things inside of us. It's called junk. Mm-hmm. And we build it on our own insecurity and out of our own immaturity, unwilling to look at the fact that we need to grow up. My husband often mentions that to me. He's so cute. So this is an opportunity you could grow up. I said, "I'm 5 feet. I'm not going any taller." There's something within the inner person that desires to be a person who walks with God so obviously that you don't even have to say it, but people are drawn to his love from your life. I've seen people like that. I long to be an individual like that. But it takes a person willing to say, "Yeah, this is where I'm at. It's ugly and I don't like it. I don't even like to say it. But it's true about me. I am shallow, and Lord, without your hand working within me depth, I'll never have what I need to respond as a grown-up person." We need to learn how to speak the truth. And then we need to learn how to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. Saturate ourselves in the Word of God. And I get excited about this. I could start preaching because I love the Word of God. This is the glue that holds this crackpot together. And I would encourage you to place your mind and your emotions in this Word on a regular basis. For it is through the reflection of this word that we begin to see who we are and who we aren't and who we are yet to become. I had to work through a lot of fears in my life, and I thought he should just whisk them away. And I would approach the Lord and say, please make all this go away, great magician. No, physician, Patsy, not magician. And that's the way some of us approach our Lord, wanting him, just make it all better. I said, Lord, just make all the fear go away. He said, no, I'm going to walk you through these so I can bring you out the other side a strong and a stable woman. And one of the fears I had to deal with was the fear of flying. I didn't know when we were dealing with this fear, it meant I would be flying every week. I may not have been quite so willing. But it was an area that I needed to know that Jesus is Lord. That's the bottom line on everything we say. Is Jesus truly Lord in every area of your life? Is he Lord? You see, the roots and the resting place of those of us who name the name of Jesus is in the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God means that God can do anything he wants to do, anytime he wants to do it, any way he wants to do it, to accomplish what God ultimately wants to accomplish. And the day finally came when I had to deal with this. I get dizzy on my high heels, so getting on a plane on purpose did not look like fun to me. But I needed to get somewhere quickly, and that was the only way to do it. And so I felt that in his timing, I was to move in this direction, and he would enable me. See, in the past, what happened is I would say, enable me now before I do it. Make me feel good about it and settle me down so I know that you're there, and then I'll obey. And I learned that, no, faith is being willing to take the step. Not knowing if you're going to survive from one step to the next, and he will meet you there. He graciously, faithfully meets you there. Every step you take in his direction leads you to solid ground. And so I started to the airport. My husband went with me to encourage me. He was assisting me through the airport. Actually, he was shoving me towards the gate. And I remember passing a large plate glass window, and I looked out, and there was the plane with the big AA, and I remembered praying, oh, Lord, let that stand for American Airlines and not Alcoholics Anonymous. It's strange the things that'll go through your mind, and fear has a way of growing if you'll feed it. And that day, fear grew legs because it ran up my arm and this shoulder, leaned into this ear and yelled, run! But there was my husband guiding me back on. And I took a seat, and my friend, my former friend, was with me. And she sat down, and Rose took out a camera. And I said, why are we taking a camera out in the plane? She said, I wanted to capture fear in color when they start the engine. It was a hazy, gray, nasty day in February in Michigan when we took off. I'll never forget it as we left the ground and we started through the murky clouds and then came out into the brilliant sunlight. And as I looked out the window, there arched in the heavens from one cloud to another was a rainbow. And I knew that it was mine. I knew that it was a telegram from the Lord saying, you're going to make it. And so I just wrapped up in it. Now, scientists would tell you another reason, but what do they know? This was for me this day. It was like a warm, loving quilt, and I wrapped up in the security of it. Now, there was a lady seated next to me who looked out and said, oh, look, a rainbow. And I said, it's mine. excuse me. But it is mine. And I rode for a long time in the safety of that, and then the pilot came on, a man who was obviously in need of counsel. Because he began to say things he should have kept to himself. Things like running lower on fuel than we'd anticipated, and strong headwinds, and I began to search the heavens for another rainbow. And Rose had her Bible. I think she thought it was the yellow pages. She was letting her fingers do the walking back and forth and going, oh, look at this. And some people call that Bible study. They let it fall open. I call it Bible bingo. And it just, you know, there's so much more to getting into the Word of God than just letting it drop open. And yet God is God, and he had to show me that day that he would speak any way he chose at any time to anyone that he wanted, regardless of my opinion. Can you imagine that? And she said, oh, look, isn't this funny? And I looked down and I said, funny, nothing, give that to me. It was my other rainbow. For listen to what it says in Obadiah. Who reads Obadiah? Who say in your heart, who will bring me down to earth? That was me, Lord. I just said that. Am I right? Who's going to bring me down to earth? He says, though you fly high like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. Well, thank you, Lord, and thank you, Obadiah. Now, I know that Obi here didn't take his quill and say, we'll put this one in for Grandma. She's going to be on American Airlines. I mean, I know that's not the way that it was. But this is what I also know, that this is the living, life-changing, and lasting Word of God. And he is able to bring it alive within your inner man for the purpose of your development. And I know this day that this brought me great comfort. One lady after sharing the story came up to me and she said, oh, mine reads differently. Well, yours says, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. She says, mine says, I will plummet you to the earth. You see, he even knows what version we should be reading. One plummet and it would have been all over. We need to learn how to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. My Aunt Pearl, who is from Kentucky, she's taught me a lot of things. She's a fun and wild and crazy kind of woman. And that probably surprises you, coming from my family. And I remember her saying to me once, child, there ain't nothing worse than a whooping from the Lord. And I remembered asking her, a what? She said, a whooping from the Lord. I said, well, what's a whooping from the Lord? She said, you don't know what a whooping is, child? She says, I was at this here, a hospital. She said, a visiting a friend. And she said, I was standing in the hallway, and they come a-bringing a woman down the hall on a gurney. Said, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, take that woman's hand. She said, I said, Lord, I can't take that woman's hand. I don't know that woman. Said, the Spirit of the Lord said, take that woman's hand. She said, I said, look, Lord, they'd be locking me away in one of these rooms. I'd be taking a hand. She said, I just argued in my heart with the Lord. Said, about that time, That woman went by, and for one moment their eyes met, and then she was gone down that long hall and through those double doors. Word came out a short time later that that woman had died. And my Aunt Pearl looked at me with tears in her eyes, and she said, I realized that the Lord had given me the opportunity to be the last person on this earth to touch her with His love, and I refused to respond. She said, oh, child, there ain't nothing worse than a whooping from the Lord. She said, now when the Spirit of the Lord says to me, take that woman's hand, she said, I take her hand or arm or neck out on her. Because I don't want no more whoopings from the Lord. Well, I went to Scripture and I found it there. As I was saturating myself in the Word of God in Hebrews, it says He whoops us, He disciplines us, depending on your version, He disciplines us that we might share in His holiness. It's the 12th chapter of Hebrews, about the 10th verse. He disciplines us that we might share in His holiness. We are needy people, but we have a great and a wonderful God who is a need meter, and that's His delight.
Well, those are the final words from Patsy Claremont, at least all that we have time for on today's broadcast as we bring to a close part two of a message she called God Uses Cracked Pots. And she has a marvelous way of mixing humor and serious thoughts together.
You know, Mike, we've talked a lot about her sense of humor, and again, this tape rocked my head back a couple of places, dragging her pantyhose through the store and the rest of it. But, you know, I find that some people use humor to cope with the difficulties of life. And I wonder if humor isn't very much a part of the emotional balance that she needs. And in so doing, she imparts it to us as well. I really enjoyed this tape, and I hope our listeners will write for a copy of it if they'd like to share it with someone else who not only needs a little scripture and understanding for living, but would like to brighten their day with a smile as well.
And with that, we come to the end of this Focus on the Family cassette. If you'd like to receive the information about Patsy Claremont's tape ministry called Milk and Honey that Dr. Dobson mentioned at the beginning of the cassette, simply mention it when you write to us. If you'd like to find out more about Patsy Claremont's book called God Uses Cracked Pots, you can ask for that information as well when you contact us. Here's our address. Focus on the Family, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80995. And thank you for listening.
There's not much I can say to top that, folks. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you.
You've been listening to the Hour of the Dime with William Cooper on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.